Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
You may open them up to James chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This morning we are wrapping up a series called Margin. And so far we have been talking about scheduling margin with our time. Last week we focused on financial margin, and today we're going to talk about a kind of margin that you may have not thought of before. We're going to talk about moral margin. Now, before I get into that, I want to just ask a question, and I don't want you to answer it because I'm going to lay out some illustrations, some examples of this question, and then you can kind of answer it at the end. But here's the question, okay? How many of you know someone whose life has been wrecked by sexual sin? Don't answer that, okay? But how many know someone whose life has been wrecked by sexual sin? For example, how many know someone who struggled with pornography and looking at images or lustful images, and it's at the place in their life where it's really just destroyed their life, it's consumed them, and it's just wrecked their life, wrecked their marriage? How many of you know someone who maybe had sex before marriage, and they got pregnant, and then they decided to commit an abortion, and they've been carrying that, they've been walking around with that, and just really grieved over that situation? Or maybe they were pregnant before marriage, but they were thinking, how am I going to be a single parent? Or they married the person, even though that guy or that gal was a jerk, or they didn't love him, but they felt we need to do it for the baby. How many of you know someone who maybe has gotten involved in an affair, and they never thought it would happen to them, but one day they woke up and they realized, my marriage is in serious jeopardy because of sexual temptation? How many of you have ever been known someone who's been haunted by a sexual disease after a one-night stand? How many know someone who was promiscuous before marriage, in and out of relationships, finally found that one and they married them, but now they have all this baggage that they're carrying along, and now there's this tension, there's this fear, there's these expectations, there's this comparison, and it's really hurting their relationship with their husband or their wife. How many of you know someone, by a raise of hands, you have seen their life destroyed by sexual temptation? Raise your hand this morning. Hands up all over. In our society, it is very common for sexual temptation to impact people at various levels and destroy their life. What's interesting to me is I don't know a single person who comes and says, you know what, part of my five-year plan, my five-year goals, is that I want to have an affair and get divorced in 5 years. You ever know anyone who said that? You know, if anyone who ever says, my New Year's resolution is this year, I want to contract a sexually transmitted disease. No, it's not our plan for us to experience those types of things. I don't know of anyone who says, you know, if I play my cards right, then I can fall into an addiction to pornography or an addiction to looking and voyeurism and never be satisfied with my spouse. I don't know of anyone who that's their intention. So what has happened? What happens? Here's the thing. I've been pastoring for about 30 years now. And in that time in working with people, I've had couples come to me that have had issues in this area. And you know what one of the most common threads, one of the most common sayings each one of them says? I never thought it would happen to me. I never thought I would fall into an addiction to pornography. I never thought I'd be unfaithful to my husband or my wife. I never thought I would get into this. I never thought it would happen to me. And the reason it does is because we do not have moral margin in our lives. Now, you might be saying, Craig, what is moral margin? I would like you this morning to take the insert out of your bulletin, and I'm going to give you a working definition of moral margin. And I do realize this is going to be a very quiet sermon today. Because whenever you talk about two topics in church, money, which was last week, or sex, it's just a quiet day in church. There's not a whole lot of amens, okay? Here's a definition of margin, of moral margin. It's putting distance between you and temptation. It's putting distance between you and temptation. There's a buffer. There is some space. There is some distance. You are insulating yourself, trying to keep it away from you. Now, if this is your first time here at Casper Faith, or maybe it's your first time in church in a long time, I want you to know we are really glad you're here. But you may be thinking, what? You're talking about sex in church? I thought we're supposed to talk about God. Well, I don't know if you realize this, but the authors of the Bible, they talk about sex. There is a whole book about sex. The Song of Solomon is a book about romantic love and sexuality in a relationship from starting from dating through marriage and on into later in marriage. Jesus talked about sex and sexual temptation. The Apostle Paul talked about sex and sexual temptation. And so we want to talk about sex because here's the thing. Sexual temptation is taking out many people in our society, people who are Christ followers and who are not Christ followers. It's taking out our teenagers. It's taking out our college students. It's taking out our singles. It's taking out our marrieds. And we need to talk about it because the Bible talks about it. Now, first of all, if we're going to understand moral margin and how to create this distance, we have to look at the problem. And so let's take a look at James chapter 1, verse 13. This is what it says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. You may remember a couple of weeks ago as we were talking about margin, we talked about the fact that all of us are out of alignment with God. None of us are lined up with God. All of us have a sinful nature, and these verses agree with that, that we are tempted by our own evil desires. And then it goes on to say in verse 15, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. Now, take a look at your notes today. The problem that James says is that our own desires entice us. They entice us. And that word entice, it means to shun, or excuse me, it means to entrap, to allure, and to hook. It means to hook. It's a fishing term that's used to catch bait, and we are hooked by our own desires. We cannot blame anyone else for our sexual sin. We can't say, well, it's that lady at the office who wears those short skirts and those tight-fitting blouses. We can't blame, you know, that neighbor across the street who always undresses with their window open. Okay? We can't blame anyone else for our sexual sin. We have to take personal responsibility. We have to realize that each and every one of us is susceptible to sexual sin. Because when we say, it'll never happen to me, you may end up in a pastor's office saying, man, I never thought it would happen to me. When we think we are above sexual sin, that's when we get into problems. Here's the thing. Sex is not wrong. Sex is not dirty. The world would say it's dirty. They would say, you shouldn't talk about it in church. But friends, sex is holy, it is pure, and it is Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. Sexual relations, they're great! When it's between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, who are married according to God's design. You see, sex was part of God's design. God made us sexual beings, but here's the thing. Our sinful nature twists what is holy and pure and distorts it, and it tries to take it outside of the confines that God set up for it. How many came to church in a vehicle today? Almost every person here. I don't know if anyone walked that. Aren't you glad for your vehicle? Cars, trucks, they're great. They are wonderful. I'm so glad for them, as long as they stay in their lane. You take it onto the sidewalk, or you drive in someone else's lane, that vehicle is now a destructive force. And friends, sex, when it is kept between a husband and a wife, when it stays in its lane where God designed it, is a beautiful thing. But when it's taken outside of the confines, that's when it's destructive. It hurts you, it hurts others, and it hurts your relationship with God. And the problem is, our desires try to get riled up, and we have to realize we are susceptible to sin. When I first started ministry, I was a youth pastor in Salt Lake City, Utah. 4 great years, I loved it, it was great. But one of the common questions that I would receive from the young people is, and this is regarding dating, how far is too far? How far is too far? In other words, what is the line, and how close can I get to the line without going over? Now, there are not a lot of areas in life where we say, how close can I get without going over? I mean, if you had a gun and you had 3 bullets in a day, how many of you would spin it and pull the trigger and see how many times can I click it before I experience danger? I don't know too many people who do that. I mean, Wyoming, we're full of rattlesnakes, okay? Thank God I've never seen a rattlesnake in the wild. I think it'd be kind of cool, but at the same time, you know, I'm fine not seeing it. But a few years back, we went on vacation, and we were in the Badlands of South Dakota, and we pulled over to one of these areas where they had developed walking trails and bridges, and we pulled over, and we got out, and as we started on the to walk the trail, it said, "Beware of rattlesnakes." And as we're walking along, and I talk about if you hear a buzz, you know, don't go any further. We're walking along, and all of a sudden, we heard this rattle. And I was like, you know what? I think we've seen enough of this trail. Let's turn around and go the other direction. We didn't see how close we could get to the danger without going over. And yet, when it comes to sexual temptation, that's what many of us do. That's what our society does. How close can I get without getting bitten? And it's this result of not creating moral margin that kills us. And we have to realize we are susceptible. That is the problem. And I am drawn away by my own desires. I am created a sexual being. And so I have to be aware that's the problem today. So what's the remedy? Take a look at your notes this morning. The remedy is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. And I'd like you, as we read this, I want you to look at the screens, and I want you to help me in reading the very first word. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 18. Read the first word on the count of three together. 1, 2, 3. Flee. What is that word? Flee. It doesn't say flirt. It says flee sexual immorality. Don't flirt with it. Don't hang around it. Get out of town. Run away from it. Put some distance between you. In your notes, that's what it means. Flee means to run away, to shun, to escape, to distance oneself. When you're facing a temptation of sexual immorality, we need to flee. Run, Forrest, run! My mama told my shoes would take me places. That's right. Keep those shoes on and run. Get out of town. Run, Forrest, run. Flee sexual temptation. That is the remedy. Create distance. That's not what our society does, but friends, that's what the wise person does. You see, we've been talking about margin. The wise person puts margin in their life when it comes to time. They have margin in their life financially, but they also do it sexually. And they flee, they get out of town. You might say, Craig, why are you zeroing in so much this morning on sexual temptation? And the reason is because I believe that sexual temptation is one of the most dangerous and devastating sins of all. Now, you might say, I thought all sins are the same. Here's the thing. All sin separates you from God and sends you to hell. But the practical consequences of sin vary greatly. I mean, you can tell a white lie and maybe get away with it. You can speed 10 miles over the speed limit and get a fine. You might gossip and lose a few friends. But when you commit sexual immorality, friends, you can lose your job, you can lose your reputation, you can lose your marriage, you can lose the respect of your kids. Sexual temptation, sexual sin can devastate your life. And we have to realize how dangerous this is. We can't play around with it. It says in verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Friends, sexual temptation, sexual sin is a little different because when you commit sexual sin, it impacts your body. All the other sins are done outside your body, but sexual sin impacts you. And it goes on to say in verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You might be here saying, well, hey, it's my body. I can do with it whatever I want. No, it's not. If you are a Christ follower, if you say, I'm a Christian, I've received Jesus, then your body is not your own. You belong to God. Your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. You belong to God. He paid a price. He sent His Son. Jesus died for your sin, and now God owns you. And so you and I cannot do whatever we want with our bodies. We need to honor God with our bodies. The Apostle Paul wrote about moral margin to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. This is what Paul said in the NIV, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Think about that. Not even a hint. Not a smidgen. Not a tidbit. No hint of sexual immorality. That word sexual immorality is translated from the Greek word pornea. We get our word porn from that. And what that word literally means is anything that causes arousal outside of marriage. There must not be a hint of anything that causes arousal outside of marriage. So let me ask you this morning, if someone dresses inappropriately in a seductive way that causes someone to say, wow, is that a hint of immorality? If we're dating someone and we're not going all the way, but we're doing something that arouses things up, is that a hint of immorality? Do you think that reading a Cosmos magazine that says five ways to drive your boyfriend wild in bed, is that a hint of immorality to God? No, definitely not. We just put it on the grocery aisle so our five-year-old kid can look at it. You see, that is normal in society, to have more than a hint of immorality going on. But God says, flee it. Run, Forrest, run. Put some distance. Don't have a hint, because it will destroy you. You know what else is normal when it comes to sex in our society? Regret, pain, guilt, shame, condemnation, divorce, you know, baggage. That is common. And God says, I want to protect you from all of that. And the way that we're protected is through margin. This morning, I have a rope. And let's say that this rope represents the line between what is right and what is wrong. Now, a lot of times what people say is, I want to know how close can I get to the line without stepping over. Let me ask you, if there was a rattlesnake right here on this side of the line, how many of you would stand right here? You'd be like, I'm getting out of here. And you wouldn't stop here at the end of the stage. I mean, I'd be gone. I would put some distance between me and the snake. I'd put some margin there. And if you want to be free and you want to be safe from sexual temptation, then you need to create margin. And I'm going to give you 8 suggestions this morning in your notes for creating margin. These are going to be kind of bullet points. I'm not going to dwell. You'd say, 8? Man, if he spends 10 minutes on each, that's 80 minutes. We're going to miss lunch. No, you won't, okay? Here's the first suggestion. And by the way, these suggestions are both for marrieds and for singles, okay? They're for students. They're for college age. There's those who are single, again, they're for marrieds. Some of them will apply more to singles at times. Some will apply to both. But here's the number one. Actually, not number one, but here's the first suggestion for creating moral margin. Dress for spiritual success. Dress for spiritual success. When you dress in such a way as to bring glory to God and not be immodest. For most guys, this is not a real big problem. I'm going to say this. Guys, when you go to the gym, you don't need to show off your big, bulging muscles, okay? Cover up. And don't go wearing the little tight shorts, okay? Cover up. Be modest. You're not Mr. Universe, okay? You're laughing. That's good. Ladies, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more because guys are visual. You may not realize this, but ladies are usually aroused through emotional things, through talking and through caressing and just feeling an emotional connection. Guys are aroused visually. And if you don't know this, ladies, a guy can be turned on in 2 seconds. They can see a lady who's dressed seductively. He's like, wow. And we got to be careful of that, guys. We have to guard our minds when that happens and not do it. It was funny. Yesterday, I'm here at the church. I'm standing out in the hallway. And I just came out, and a lady walks up to the door. And the first thought is, man, she's hot. And I say, okay, no, don't look. And wait a second, that's my wife. I can look. Yeah. But honestly, there's times, guys, someone walks in front of us and we see him. And I'm really, this is hitting the last point. But I'm just giving you a freebie up now. And when you see him, you got to say, oh, I look away. My eyes flee that situation. Don't keep, here, the first look, if you're not doing it intentionally, is not sin. But the second look, and the third look, and the fourth look, all those are sin. Or the longing, continuing look, yeah, that's sin. I'm glad you're having fun today. Dress for spiritual success, ladies, because here's the thing. I've had guys say, I'm having a hard time worshiping because someone in front of me is not dressed appropriately. It happens in church. It happens in the outside world. Dress modestly. Cover yourself up. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to wear a veil and a tunic and all that, okay? But dress modestly. Okay, that's the number one suggestion for creating margin. Also, ladies, young girls, you don't want to attract guys by not wearing a whole lot of clothes. Those are not the good guys to attract. Okay, dress for success. Number two, the second suggestion for creating distance is keep 4 feet on the floor. Keep 4 feet on the floor. If you're dating, keep 4 feet on the floor. Your 2 and your partner's 2. Okay? That means if you're going to study the Bible together, don't lay down on the bed together and study the Bible. Because then you start playing footsie and you start wrapping your legs around each other and then you're doing other things and you won't be studying the Bible very long. Do not lay on a bed with another person. 4 on the floor. Okay? That means when you're watching a movie that you sit on a couch with both feet on the floor. You don't lay down and cuddle, or you don't lay on the floor together and cuddle. No, you are playing with fire. Keep 4 feet on the floor. Number three, if you're taking notes, I hope you are today, no sleepovers or playing house. No sleepovers or playing house. This is very normal in our society because people say, well, we've got to see if this relationship will work. Can we handle spending 24/7, 365 with this person? Or will they drive me crazy? We're going to have separate bedrooms. Don't worry, friends. I don't know how many times I've had couples say, well, we're going to have separate bedrooms. And later they come to me and say, man, I never thought it would happen to me. It would happen to us. Didn't create moral margin. Do not live together. Well, man, we just can't make it financially. Josh, thanks for your testimony about finances. You are not your financial source. God is. Put God first in every area of your life and trust Him. If that's the reason you're living together is finances, then say, God, I'm going to trust You to be my source, and I'm going to create some margin in my life. Sometimes, maybe you're not living together, but you do takeout, and you do Redbox, and you fall asleep during the movie, so then you finish it, and it's late. And man, it's snowing. Remember the snowstorm we had this week, how bad it is? And it'd be really easy to say, you know what? It's too cold. It's too dangerous out there. Just stay the night. You can use my toothbrush. You can use my t-shirt. Friends, don't do it. Because what happens? You're laying there, and you can't get to sleep. And you're thinking about that person in the other room. And it's not good. Create margin. Don't sleep over. Don't play house. Okay? All right, this next one here is extreme. But if you're dating, do you want some extreme results? This is it. Are you ready? No tonsil hockey. All right? No tonsil hockey. No passionate making out. No. I'm being practical here. Hey, friends, there is a long ways between, hi, I'm Sarah, and going all the way. And when you're passionately making out, it doesn't take long to get from here over to there. You need to set boundaries. My wife Rebecca and I, we waited until we were married to share in the gift of lovemaking together, okay? But it was never a temptation until we kissed. When we kissed, man, it was hard to stay off that woman. I'm serious. When you start kissing young people, all of a sudden, it stirs things up. If you can refrain from kissing as long as you can in the marriage, you are creating good margin. You're staying away from that line. I wish we would have waited till at least we were engaged. I'm being practical. I'm being honest with you. I've told my kids this because I don't want my kids. No one ever told me how dangerous a kiss was. The only safe kiss is a Hershey's kiss. As long as it stays in your mouth and you don't try to give it to them, okay? Our young people need to know this stuff. There's some of you, I know you've said, I've made a covenant. I'm going to wait until I'm married to kiss. That's great. I know some of us says, I'm going to wait until I'm engaged. That's not as great, but it's good. Refrain from passionate making out. That is great moral margin. One of the biggest things you can do. All right, number five, let's go on. Avoid dangerous places. Avoid dangerous places. You are the only one who knows what those are. There are some of you go to the clubs. You go to bars, and that's a dangerous place for you. And let me just say, a lot of times the people you meet there are not the best people to get hooked up with. For some of you, it could be going to chat rooms. For some of you, it's going to the gym and seeing everyone working out with not a lot of clothes on, and you need to stay away from there. When you're a couple dating, a dangerous place is a parked car. When you're in a car, keep 4 feet on the floor. Don't speed, but 4 on the floor, man. And keep the car moving. Don't park it. Don't go out to Lake Alcova and watch the submarine races, okay? Because that leads to the tonsil hockey, and then you're just blowing your moral margin. Avoid dangerous places. Figure out what those are for you. All right? Number 6 is monitor your internet activity. Monitor internet activity. When I was a kid, it was pretty hard to come across pornographic images, okay? But nowadays in our society, it is easy. They're on your smartphone, they're on your computer, and the internet is a horrible source. I mean, our young people in this generation have more sexual temptation because pornography is thrown to them. Little kids, 2 and 3-year-olds, can see pornographic images very easily. And so monitor your internet activity. In our house, we use something called Safe Eyes, and it's a filter, and so it helps our kids not go to certain sites. It also can set up times when you look at when you're on the internet. So if you want it to shut down at 10, it can. Another good software is something called Covenant Eyes. What Covenant Eyes does is it will send to your accountability partners, 2 or 3 people, it will send every single website that you've looked at. And it kind of flags them. It has these sites rated, and if there's something bad, it will send it to there. You can even, on this Covenant Eyes, you can say, lock out of internet right now because I'm struggling, I'm tempted for it. Monitor your internet activity is another great way to create moral margin. Number 7, avoid time alone with the wrong people. Now, several years ago, I would have said avoid time alone with the opposite sex. But nowadays, for some people, the wrong people are people of the same sex. And you know what it is for you. In my world, for me and also for our staff, I will not be alone with a lady. I will not be in a car all alone with another woman, unless it's my wife or my daughters. I will not be alone with a member of the opposite sex. It's just a boundary. It's just some distance I've put up so nothing happens. I won't do lunch alone with a lady. When we counsel, all of our doors and on staff, we have windows. And if there's a counseling session with a lady, if our wives can't be with us, I have our secretary just come by the door every few minutes. You want to establish some boundaries in your life. Don't be alone with the wrong person. You know, in the business world, it is typical for them to send a man and a woman who aren't married on a business trip. You know what? That's not wise. That's not wise. When you spend time alone with the wrong person, you have opened the door for something to take place. If you're never alone with them, then things can't happen. So avoid time alone with the wrong person. And then the last thing for creating moral margin is guard your eyes, your mind, and your heart. What does that mean? It means be careful, little eyes, what you see. That's what it means. It means if you're reading romance novels or reading magazines and they're arousing things in you that are not right, then you maybe need to stop reading them. You might say, well, I don't look at pornography, but I have the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition and I can't wait to get through the articles. Is that a hint of immorality? Guys, don't go looking at the Victoria's Secret catalog shopping for lingerie for your wife, okay? Don't do that. Let her go shopping for it. Guard your eyes. Job said this in Job 31:1. He says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. We have to guard our eyes from temptation, from images, from what we're watching on television and in movies. Guard your eyes. Guard your mind. Guard your heart. A great thing is to have an accountability partner. There's another guy I meet with about every other week, and we ask each other tough questions in all gamuts of life, but some of them are, have you been with a woman who, besides your wife, in an inappropriate way this week? What have you been looking at? How's your thought life? Have you just lied to me? You see, I don't necessarily need these margins, but friends, I wouldn't want to live life without them. I want them in my life because they give freedom. Just as time margin is awesome and financial margin is awesome, moral margin is awesome. And so I could sing in church this morning, I am free. I'm free to run with God. I'm free to dance with my wife. I am free. Sexual sin doesn't have me inhibited. I want my son to know that his dad is a man of God. Not perfect, but he's seeking God and he is being pure through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that, hey, even though society throws a lot of junk at us, Paul, you can be free because I'm living it. I want my daughters to know that their father does not objectify women, but that he honors them. And I want to show them, this is the kind of guy, I want them to go for a guy who's like their dad, who doesn't look and gawk at every woman who comes down the pike. I don't want them to have the wrong kind of guy. I want my wife to never worry a day about my integrity and devotion to her. I want her to know that she is treasured and blessed and protected and honored and respected, and she's the only one in the world for me. When we have moral margin, it produces life. But when we're hooked, when we're drawn away and enticed, those desires give birth to sin, and when sin's full grown, it produces death. You have a choice this morning. You can choose death, or you can say, I'm going to create some margin, and I'm going to choose life and fulfillment and a great relationship with God, with my spouse, or with the person that God is going to bring in my life as my spouse if I'm still single. And it's your choice.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.